College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you missed our conversation with Kevin Franzen earlier today on the Nats who swept the Orioles, go grab it at thefandc.com when we are done. Started the show talking about the tush push. It's going to finally come to a head this week in the NFL. Is there going to be a change made? Will the tush push be banned? Tuesday, tomorrow, Wednesday, 2 days from now, the league is meeting to determine that, among other things, in the final of the owners' gatherings this offseason. And Frankie Louvu is on NFL Network today. And he's a fitting, interesting person to talk to about the tush push because, of course, it was his viral diving over the pile acrobatics.
Yeah, he got a warning for being naughty.
That made it even more of a joke than it already was in the postseason with everybody watching him. And you got, 40 million people watching those championship games. And Louvu was right in the center of the controversy. Show today is brought to you by our law firm friends, Condori and Murad. They take good care of us. They sponsor the show. They're going to help you as well. They'll draft a last will and testament as needed, set up a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney, schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Those guys are always looking out for us here on Grant and Danny. We appreciate them. Big DC sports fans?
Yes.
Looking to send the boys on the road again this year, it sounds like.
The boys will be out and about. We will visit at least multiple states. Multiple countries? Question mark?
Nobody knows.
Multiple countries? Question mark?
It's possible. Lambeau. Danny Ruye's long Lambeau Field drought will end.
I'm in.
Once and for all.
I think it's the last sports venue that I go, I got to see that place.
Can't be the last. It'll be the next one. But there's got
to
be...
Currently, of the current sports stadiums, it's the last one I got to go. I have to go there.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been to Cameron Indoor?
Yes. Not for a game, for a tour.
You've been to Wrigley and Fenway?
Yep. San Francisco, been to PNC and Pittsburgh.
Those are just pretty. I wouldn't even consider them like museum historical.
To me, it's just like that's just so gorgeous. Yeah. It's stupid how nice it is. You know, Yankee Stadium, the new Met Stadium I did.
Now, I do think that you're gonna get a great experience because it's Lambeau Field. It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to go to Lambeau when it's a little colder, probably, to get the full experience. I don't need you to be there when it's the frozen tundra.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for fall anymore.
I don't think you need January.
Like, if I was 24 with a better body fat percentage, I might be excited about it.
No, but you're not hearing me.
Yeah.
I don't need it to be 9 degrees or snow on the ground or anything. I'm just saying it's going to be, like, 79.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be week two.
Uh-huh.
I want it to be like 51.
Okay.
Just wear a coat.
Okay.
When I last went to Lambeau, it was like light a fire in the yard at the tailgate and it's really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Or just wear a big heavy coat. Like everyone's in their hunting jackets basically in Green Bay.
Yep.
Everyone's wearing that like super bright orange that you wear when you walk across the road at night.
Yes, you don't get shot.
That's basically what they're
wearing. Seriously, yeah. So hunters don't mistake you for a deer.
I was not. I was wearing like a dark coat that I had to like buy out there because it's a little colder. I never prepare correctly, you know, but like mid-50s there is not the same as here. It's a little colder. I think that's what I need for you.
Okay.
And maybe we could get a nice chilly autumn day. Maybe even in the middle
of September, you know.
I just think it's going to be warm. I just think you're not going to get the full experience.
When you go up, you don't know, is all I'm saying. Like I did a stand-up tour of Western Canada. And I was in a place, middle of nowhere, called Saskatoon, right? I was in some city, then I drove 4.5 hours with like one gas station on the way. I'm like, what happens if someone breaks down? Like, don't is their best advice. But anyway, I get there, it's the middle of May, and it was like 28 degrees. And I asked the people of this fine city, I go, how did anyone start living here? You know what I mean? Like, someone shows up in the springtime, and it's like, yeah, it's about, you know, 15, 20 degrees in May. Let's build a town. Let's just stop here and make this our place. Like, who would ever be there when it's that cold at times where it's supposed to be warm everywhere else? Just crazy to me. But I think my point is that it's possible when you go that far north.
I haven't done a lot of Canada. I have done Toronto. I think I've done Toronto.
Have you done Montreal?
No.
You never Montrealed?
Mm-mm. I thought I had been to two places in Canada, but unless I'm forgetting something, I've done several trips to Toronto.
Sure.
But that doesn't count as two places in Canada just because I've gone
different
to Toronto.
Different parts of Toronto? Right. Yeah, it doesn't count.
A lot of Toronto for me.
Okay.
I've said Toronto a lot. That's it.
You ever been to Toronto at all?
Never Toronto.
Spent any time in Toronto?
Not me.
No?
Not this guy. The president of the Commanders, the new Jason Wright, if you will. Notice you know this guy's name way less. He is not as publicly facing. He is not on NFL Network talking about the depth chart.
Right now, if you're listening, don't look it up. What's his name? What's his name? Do you remember? I went, which guy's that? Oh, that's right, the team president. Interesting, huh?
Mark Klaus is the guy's name. He comes from Campbell, like the Campbell Soup Company.
Mm-hmm.
He was at an event today in D.C. where a bunch of people got together to talk about the economy in the city, I believe. It's one of those events. They always happen in the city.
Sure.
Everyone gets dressed up. It's like a big banquet. A lot of people with a lot of money sit around and chat and get to the bottom of some things. And oftentimes, good, important things come out of this. This was one of those events where there's like curtains in the background and they're on a stage and someone sits with their legs crossed and asks questions of a guy like Mark Klaus. That's what this was.
Yeah, yeah.
Klaus talking about the stadium. Couple of clips we wanted to play for you. Why it needs a roof and the fact that it will have a roof. The fact that it's going to be very rare because it has a roof in this area. This was the new president of the Commanders.
Arm wrestling, there is a roof on the stadium, and I think that's going to enable us to bring, you know, 30 to 40 world-class events. I mean, we will be the only roofed facility of this side in the Mid-Atlantic. And so, you know, whether that's Taylor Swift or the Final Four or any WWE wrestling fans out there, WrestleMania could come, but we are going to be able to host everything that's in the city on a national stage. And because of that roof, it gives us a chance to actually create a pipeline of jobs and development.
So the roof is a formality. The roof is a lock. It is a part of this as much as a playing surface to have a football game at this point. And I think it's finally starting to settle in with people a little bit. About 2 years ago was the first time we started talking a lot about what a stadium could look like on this show.
And people were shocked.
Well, someone reached out to me from the team, and they said, you've got to start mentioning that this thing's going to have a roof. You keep saying retractable. It's not going to have a retractable roof. It would have a roof. And I said, well, I don't understand the difference. It needs a roof, obviously, because you need to be able to hold events. But nobody wants it closed on nice days, so it's got to be retractable. And they said it will not be retractable. Now, this was a different ownership. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you have Bezos and money's not an option and he just wants to build the whole thing.
You got an extra bill.
You can do whatever you want. But it costs almost $1 billion on top of whatever else you're going to do to have a retractable roof the size of an NFL stadium. And when the Harris ownership group is already footing 75% of the bill and the other 25% is a knockdown, drag-out fight for Washington, D.C., no one wants to pay another $1 billion. There's also the fact that when you have a retractable roof, you don't use it as often as you think you're going to because the risk of weather, a little bit too hot, it's not 75, it's 83. Well, that's a little unpleasant.
Yeah, so humid, too.
We'll
yeah.
close it. A little bit too cold. You know, 55 is football weather, but it's 49 today. It's a little chilly. There's a chance of some snow flurries. Well, we're going to close it. So the sweet spot gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And basically, it's got to be between, let's say, you know, 50 and 75 degrees or 78 degrees or whatever in that window with 0 to 10%, whatever it is, precipitation chance. And you find out that when you go back over the last X number of years for football, it would only have been open, you know, 40% of the time or whatever it is anyway. And then there's the element that you want it to be as loud as possible. You want the home field advantage. Well, guess what's louder? Indoor, not outdoor. Then there's just the experience at the stadium with audio and video and the lights and all the things you want to do, which all gets better with a closed stadium. So will you lose something not being outside? Yes. But I think people are starting to understand that this is just part of it. You want a new stadium? In the same way that you're going to welcome PSLs, you want a new stadium, you're going to get less parking,
yeah.
You're getting a roof. There is no alternative because you cannot hold the huge events without it. And we've said this for 2 years. I think finally it's now just starting to settle in. The dust is settling on this. You don't get Super Bowl without a roof. You don't get WrestleMania without a roof. You don't get Taylor Swift without a roof. You don't get Beyonce maybe without a roof. And if you don't get those things, you don't get the stadium.
Yeah, and you
can't have enough events. You can't have enough big events. It's over, Johnny.
And that's what it is, right? You got to make your money back somehow. Who knows if you ever will? It's an economic shell game. But the point is, you got to at least start to make a dent. And if you have 10 events a year, that's, you know, 10 home games plus a preseason game maybe, and, you know, two or three other events, one monster truck rally maybe or something, it's not going to butter the biscuit. You need dozens. Now, some of them are going to be called events, and it's like a blood drive, and the doors open technically, but still, if you're talking about the things where people are driving, commuting, parking, metroing, consuming, going down there as a destination, it's got to have a roof. And I think that's one of the not only a selling point, but it's I think it's different. It's a necessity. And I know that there's this romantic notion because it's football. I get that. It's played in the elements. And visually, some of the greatest games you can remember have some of those elements of, frankly, elements. That's off the table now, I think. In order to get that downtown stadium right there, dome.
Every single year, there's like one thing that I say on social media that I remember getting the most blowback. To the point where just for weeks, and I literally, I'm like under siege where just like, oh, someone else just saw this in another market. And I'll get another, you know, just dozens and dozens of after one retweet from another market, like hateful, terrible things. My thing this year, 2 years ago, it was when Tua Tagovailoa, who's got one of the craziest followings.
He does. I was going to bring this up.
In
yes.
League history. I tweeted about a bad throw that he made to Tyreek Hill. And you would have thought I said he doesn't deserve to play in the NFL. I mean, like viral. Because Tyreek Hill retweeted it as well and kind of took issue with what I said. And then as it came out on Hard Knocks or whatever the Dolphins were on, some behind-the-scenes show, mic'd up, he had basically acknowledged everything that I said was true while mic'd up on the sideline with Tua Tagovailoa. But he just like stood up for him publicly, which is cool. But so much crap for that, just like for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm getting updates like, this town is now gone. It's now the number one trend. And so that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Last year, my take that you would have thought I just walked around kicking people's pets was when I was watching the really cool Browns-Steelers game, I think it was.
Okay.
In prime time. It was like a Thursday or Monday night game, December, late in the year, and it was a snow game. And I said something to the effect of, you couldn't pay me enough to sit in those stands right now. It's an amazing look on television, but it's just not the same being there as it is watching on TV. It's like too nice at home or whatever. I love the optics of a snow game.
Yep.
I'll never sit in another stadium like that for those, you know, that environment. And the amount of bad words.
Oh, yeah.
Start with a P and a B and all kinds of different things that I was called. But I just think I'm in the majority on that. Like, now, in Buffalo, when they build a new stadium, it can't have a roof because that's just your culture, and you guys want to go throw snowballs at each other after the touchdown.
You guys want that hypothermia.
Cleveland, there's this huge debate. I was talking to a Browns fan at the arena before the Caps game a couple weeks ago who was like, you know what's going on with us. They're at odds. They're bashing heads over this because same thing, the mistake by the lake and the wind and the cold and the elements, and some fans are like, we're Cleveland, man. We love this. D.C. ain't that. I'm not telling you there are not fans that don't want to go sit in the snow and the weather. They do. But as someone who's got season tickets and my wife, you know, whether she's pregnant or not, it's like, I don't want you to go. You're a mom to like three kids, about to be four. Like, you can't be sick all week. You can't just go sit out in the cold rain. And it's just not it's not reality. People that paint their face can do that, Frank in accounting. The rest of us can't really do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, of course.
It's just kind of crazy. So you're just going to have to deal with the fact that it's going to be 70 degrees and air-conditioned and comfortable, and you might not get snow games in D.C. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to find a way to be okay with the amazing comfort.
Do you remember any of your other, quote-unquote, inflammatory takes that got national response?
Oh, I could probably think of some.
Was one about Noah Syndergaard's hair? Did that go? Was that big enough?
No, I wouldn't count. That one went
to Noah Syndergaard.
To Noah Syndergaard and then to MLB Network.
Yeah.
So Noah Syndergaard responded.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. But no, this is like the amount of notifications.
Yeah.
Is like notable from a financial standpoint.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. So, like,
what
for example,
happened those
you tweet Warren Fogle's a jerk for cheap shot on TJ Oshie.
Right.
And now everyone in Carolina is responding to it. Sure. Something like that is what you mean.
Yeah, and you don't want that. Like, that's not fun. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, these people engagement farming. No. I would like to just do my little thing here.
Have
some DC sports fans banter with me and never be acknowledged anywhere else. That would be lovely for me. It's not worth the stresses and anxieties and the whatever else. But the Noah Syndergaard thing was, I can't remember the exact tweet, but I said something like, looking at Noah Syndergaard's hair makes me want to shove a toothpick into my gums or something like that. I think I said is more annoying than a popcorn kernel being stuck between your teeth. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Noah Syndergaard's hair is more annoying because I just don't do the pictures with the ponytail bit. He acts like he's like, what's the guy from Beauty and the Beast? Gaston.
Gaston.
He's got like the Gaston good hair Gaston with the big pull. Arms and the ponytail. And so anyway, I said that, and then Noah Syndergaard responded.
I can't look at your dumb hair and watch you pitch, Paulson said. Is that
it? What?
I think I've got maybe that was the audio.
That was another time.
That's a quote. I can't look at your dumb hair and watch you pitch. That's from Grant.
That's when we were talking about pitchers with long hair on the show.
Here's the original.
Okay.
Noah Syndergaard's ponytail annoys me more than having a popcorn kernel stuck in my teeth in a world devoid of toothpicks.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. Because the toothpicks.
World devoid of toothpicks. Because it means I can't get it out. So it's just going to be there forever.
Uh-huh.
Just cut your hair, dude. That's all you got to do is cut your hair. But then he responded to me. He was like, having the name Grant is annoying to me. Or I don't know, something unfunny or uninteresting. But because he went back at me, MLB Network picked it up on television. And so when they did this show, like Quick Pitch, I don't remember who it was, but like some beautiful woman was standing there next to a screen. And she was like doing all the highlights for the day. And then she was like, and look at this interaction between Noah Syndergaard and a radio personality. And it was like a big thing.
Look at these responses. Oh, they are unkind. One guy was like, the Nats suck. And it was in 2019 in April. So it was true then.
I got to go back and find that guy. Still think they suck, right? Because they don't anymore. I'm being told they do.
Well, he was right. Yeah, it's come around. He's right about the Wizards sucking, though.
So that was in 2019. How about that? So I need to say something like that about another player and then they'll win a World Series. Is that how it works?
I think so. Make it a Met. See what happens.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. All right. The president of the Commanders, Mark Klaus. You just heard him talking about the roof. I think you guys are okay with the roof now, but you can call in if you want to discuss that. 800-636-1067. It's got to have a roof or you're not getting a new stadium. And it's the only way it'll work. The other thing he talked about was the new facility and whether or not they can make it resemble the old one, because it sounds like the owners have all instructed him they want the seats to shake. And I keep hearing this from people.
Yep.
The seats have to shake. They've got to bounce up and down. I don't think you can do that. Like that was a bug, not a feature.
Yeah.
That was not the design of RFK. It was just like, oh no, the seats are moving. That shouldn't happen.
And it's cool. But again, I think there's like building codes.
Is there technology that would allow for that to be a thing moving forward? I don't know. But this was Klaus today on that.
In a contemporary, relevant way that feels like you are at the absolutely premier facility in all of sports. And that's the goal. With a view that looks up the mall and that is iconic, but yet, fierce. And that's what we're building. I get, Mitch and Mark and Josh are like, you got to make the stands shake. I'm like,
yeah, that's
I don't
a big
know.
Part of it.
Structurally,
definitely got to have that.
You got to make them shake, Mark. They got to shake. I'm like, well, I'll stand behind your chair and shake it.
You can hear the clapping in the crowd. I mean, that is catnip.
Yeah.
For fans of this team that are older than 45. If you mention the stand shaking at RFK, it's like, everyone gets all horny.
Does anybody here hate the Cowboys? Right. Bah! Yeah.
All-time promo, just like, you can't stand up after that. You got to stay seated for a little while for these 50s and 60s-year-old then Redskins fans. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on either of those clips from the team president, Mark Klaus, today. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan.
college football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Arm wrestling. There is a roof on the stadium, and I think that's going to enable us to bring, you know, 30 to 40 world-class events. I mean, we will be the only roofed facility of this side in the Mid-Atlantic, and so, you know, whether that's Taylor Swift or the Final Four or any WWE wrestling fans out there, WrestleMania could come, but we are going to be able to host everything that's in the city on a national stage. And because of that roof, it gives us a chance to actually create a pipeline of jobs and development.
Mark Klaus, president of the Commanders, speaking today in D.C. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We should let people know, so tomorrow on the show at 3 o'clock, Robert White, who's a councilman in D.C., is going to be live in studio with us. So this is the next of the council members on our list that we want to track down to try to get yeses or nos on the Commander's Stadium. The count is still at 4 yeses, and while we've for a little while known who's in the yes column, who's in the no column, there are a half dozen people in the maybe column. One of them is Robert White, who has not publicly given a stance, and he's going to be in studio with us tomorrow. Obviously, we're going to try to publicly get that stance. So we could move 4 to 5. Tomorrow in the yes column, you need to have 7. He is a maybe, but it sounds like a maybe who's open to the idea.
Yeah, if certain conditions are met. I mean, we'll hear from him. And the part of this is this is the way it should be. Every council member has their own sort of set of viewpoints where this one thing I like, this one thing I don't. You can just reject it out of hand, but the whole point is you listen and try to come to the best deal according to whatever wisdom or experience or will of the people that you want to bring forward. And if it doesn't work enough, then you get voted out in theory. So that's kind of the whole point. So I'm interested to hear his perspective, which may be different from some of the other folks we've talked to.
The polling coming back showing just how much the people in D.C. by and large want this stadium was the last thing I needed to see. I already thought it would get done. I thought there was enough will from important people, whether that's the politicians or powerful or influential people who have a lot of money. But now, when I see that the everyday folks in the District of Columbia want this thing way more than they don't.
And want to pay for it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. It goes without saying. Everyone wants it. Maybe not everyone, but almost everyone wants a thing if they don't have to pay for it. But that they're willing to pay for it, important clarification to your point, tells me that it's going to get done. But we'll talk to him at 3 o'clock tomorrow in studio here on Grant and Danny. Let's go to Edwin in Silver Spring on the Fan. What's up, Edwin? How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry.
All good.
Okay. About the stadium, I'm going to make 3 quick points. One, there's never been a roof or dome stadium that had architectural style or was memorable or outstanding in its appearance. They all look the same. One.
Well, let me just combat that one really quick, because the most popular NFL stadium right now in the league that everyone thinks is the kind of preeminent NFL stadium is in Minnesota, and it's a enclosed stadium. Now, it's, I believe, retractable, or at least partially retractable, but that's considered the number one stadium in America right now for football, and it's got a roof.
Yeah, but it's not the appearance of it, or like there's some stadiums where you look at it, you know, boom, that's the stadium. If you don't see any cash or whatever, you see the image, you see the architectural style, something like Dodger Stadium, for instance, right?
Of course. But have you seen, what U.S. Bank Stadium looks like, right? It's triangular, and then it's got the beautiful, like almost like window look to it. I mean, it's a gorgeous looking facility.
Okay. But then my second point, we're supposed to be a classic flagship NFL franchise. you know, putting us in a, making us an indoor team, playing on artificial turf. We're losing our soul with this stadium, I think, honestly. You know, and people are, when people wanted to go back to D.C., they were thinking of, like he was saying, the stadium shaking, that whole energy, you know, that nostalgic feel. Putting us in a dome on a rug, that's not who we are, you know. And I feel like people will come to realize this thing is not what we thought it would be. It's not even going to be called RFK. People are forgetting about that. It's as soon as possible going to be.
Yeah, it'll have some corporate name.
Bank Stadium.
But, so let me ask you this, because it's an interesting point. Yes, it'll have a different name. No, it's not architecturally going to look like RFK Stadium did. And yes, it'll have a roof. But did you think all along that, you know, that it would be RFK, that it would look the same, that it would not have a roof? I mean, we've known for a few years this thing was going to have a roof.
Full disclosure, I expected all this. It's one of the reasons I'm against it going back to the RFK side or going back to DC.
Gotcha.
Because I feel like we're losing our
The identity, essentially.
Yeah, and it's going to be a stadium where all these people are going to be going there to be seen, to be on, you know, take their TikToks or their social media, da da da. And it's going to be some priced out, you know, some expensive venue for basically the elites
wine and cheese crap
capital area.
It's definitely going to be very expensive.
Yeah, you're not getting around that.
You know
by
what's
the way.
Expensive? New stadiums.
I think actually everything you said is right. It's not enough for me to say it's not worth doing, because my point is about the identity. Is FedEx the identity? You know what I mean? Like, is whatever that stadium is now the worst in sports, probably? I don't want that to be my identity. I'd rather have the slick, glossy new thing where, yeah, it's inevitable. You'll have clientele that's not the blue-collar roots of the team or whatever, but I think that's part and parcel. That's kind of the deal if you want something new.
I have been making the case for a long time, and I truly believe this, that a better stadium with better options around it and a better game day experience is possible with more space, which in this situation means Maryland, for the record.
Mm.
Losing tailgating for me, I said this before and everyone kind of laughed at it, is a game changer in a very negative direction. I don't like that. It's a massive blow. I would have no problem with FedEx 2.0. Wouldn't look anything like FedEx, hopefully, but out in that location. Because I think the nostalgia of RFK is a little bit overrated for people my age and younger. I think, to his point, a lot of the things you're going to lose that we don't talk about right now every day, which is the parking or whatever else that you care about. Outdoor games. Like, there's a lot of losses in this trade-off. But I acknowledge that this is best for the city, unequivocally. This is best for the fan base. There's no doubt in my mind. I think this is best organizationally. Whatever chance they have to build this thing back into a juggernaut runs through that RFK site, in my opinion. This is, outside of changing the name back, which is not going to happen,
right,
the best bullet they have to shoot to try to get the most fans the most excited. And that all outweighs my thing, my wanting the tailgate, wanting the, you know, outdoor game or the natural grass or whatever it is. Let's go to Joe in Alexandria. What's up, Joe?
Hey, fellas. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hey,
I always appreciate it when you do. Couple things. That guy was talking about the stadium. Like, obviously, it's not going to be called RFK. It's going to look completely different. I mean, you can't expect that it's going to be what it was. But that being said, I've been in the DMV for about 23 years now, but I've been originally from Arizona. And I was in Arizona when they put in Bank One Ballpark, which is now Chase Field, I believe.
Yeah.
And that, as you know, has a retractable roof. And obviously, weather is hot as heck in Arizona, so that makes sense. But the thing is, if they put some sort of retractable roof here, it makes it, let's say it's going to snow. And then we can have that snow game if we want. We can leave the roof open and keep it a classic, you know, gridiron game or something like that. I mean, I just think having a roof option brings so much more to that area and to that stadium, and it's going to make it much more usable.
So, Joe, let me say this, and you can stay on the line. I don't know if you were listening last segment, but they're not doing a retractable roof.
That's
it's a lot of extra full-time roof.
Yeah.
I did not hear that.
I think everybody agrees. A retractable roof is what everybody wants, because the people that want it closed for the Super Bowl, now you can have that event, get it.
Right.
And the people that want their 73-degree September NFL day, get it as well. It costs another $1 billion, and they already can't get D.C. to agree to give them 26% of the stadium, which is the lowest percentage of any new stadium with a deal with ownership, you know, in the league over many, many years.
I see that. I mean, that makes much sense. There was only one other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and that's Danny talking about going to Lambeau. And thanks for that information. I didn't know that. That makes much more sense. Mm-hmm. So, Danny, I have a group of college friends and high school friends that we do a destination trip every single year for a football game. We're originally Arizona Cardinals fan, but I'm a diehard Commanders fan as well. But we went to Lambeau this past NFL season as a bucket list trip, and I got to tell you, it was worth every single penny.
The best.
It was amazing. And we, and to the weather debate, we decided to go there. It was in October, because we always choose a city once they release the schedule, and it's like, we got to do Lambeau. It's going to be maybe, hope we're going to for some snow, maybe.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It was cold and wintry. Love kicked our butt. It was a terrible loss against, you know, Murray didn't show up. It was a terrible loss, but the whole experience was really incredible. I highly recommend going when the weather is a little, like Grant was talking about, just on the edge of it, you know, so you get that feel. And also, everyone was so dang nice. It was unbelievably.
Well, they're the best.
You're like, are you
in
pranking me? Is it what? Is this an ambush around the corner?
Thanks, Joe. I mean, we don't get to choose when you go, because
right.
We're going for the Commanders.
It's week two,
game.
Which is really the first Thursday after the first Sunday.
That's the only drawback. It'll be a little warmer than I wanted Danny to experience Lambeau, but they are the nicest people.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned to you many times the restaurant I went to there, where they bring raw cuts of meat to tableside, and you choose what you want to cook. And then they put it on a plate for you with tongs, and you go up to what is a community grill in the middle of the restaurant. It's the coolest idea ever.
I love it.
And then you grill your own steak, and there's things there. You butter and salt and pepper, and you do whatever you want. But you're just standing there with your drink, your beer. They take the sides to the table waiting for you. And then you're on the grill with, like, 20 people shoulder to shoulder, and you're just talking to some guy, Packers game tomorrow. Going to the game tomorrow? You know, that's Green Bay to me, in a nutshell. It's just the absolute best. Ben, Silver Spring, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, how you doing? I was going to call to tell you about the the structure of the stadium and things like that. It was actually designed to flex that way. It's done so that you can impart the dynamic loading to the columns without damaging the shear connections. But I'm a 67-year-old guy. They'll always be the Skins to me. I don't want a dome stadium. But guess what I got to do? Things happen. Times change. I will adapt just like everybody else. So there's what you want, there's what you remember, but life goes on.
Yep.
And one big thing about me is I am no longer the demographic that they're going after, which is kind of feels kind
is
of weird.
Is this future
too,
me,
you know,
calling into the show? I mean, that literally is my entire mantra, whether it comes to rule changes in baseball or otherwise. A, I understand no one cares about me. I'm not the target anymore. And like, if I want the thing, I've got to take a slightly watered-down version of my thing to still get the thing.
Kent in Great Falls, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Big Vikings fan. I've been to the stadium up there. What people sleep on are the 60-foot rotating doors that let fresh air into the stadium. And from the renderings I've seen from the RFK thing, that whole top of the roof is going to be that clear whatever it is.
It's like
material.
A glass ceiling, right?
Yeah. So you feel like you're outside when you're inside. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, the technology you can use in building some of these things now is staggering. If it's anything like what you got there, the bank in Minnesota, I would be elated. I'll just tell you outright. Having not been there and just seen the virtual tours and everything and heard so many things about it, hope to go there this year. I mean, it is the best stadium in America for the National Football League right now. By the way, on Twitter, Duck says, FedEx is indeed way closer to our identity to Edwin in Silver Springs Point, outdoor grass, tailgating, blue collar, than whatever this new stadium will be in D.C. We'll react to that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back. We will take you up to 6:30 tonight. No Nats baseball, a rare day off for the Nats after they swept the Orioles over the weekend in Baltimore. C.J. Abrams had himself a series. For C.J., two home runs yesterday. Pulled a ball down the right field line for a home run on the first pitch of the game. He's been doing that throughout this early baseball season as the leadoff batter for the Nats. And then went the opposite way for a rare home run to left field for the left-handed hitter. So on the year now, 8 bolts to go along with 9 steals, a .312 average, and a .942 OPS. I was actually thinking about this. Toby and I recorded a brand new episode of Bustin' Loose Baseball last night, which is available wherever you get your audio for Nats fans. But we were talking about C.J. Abrams playing like an all-star. James Wood is also deserving of all-star consideration.
Yes.
He's on pace for 40 homers and 100 runs batted in. Mackenzie Gore is leading all pitchers right now in strikeouts. Is there any way the Nats get 3 all-stars? I would say it probably won't happen.
Yeah, the math usually doesn't help you up there, but there's a chance, certainly.
Like
guys dropping out.
Mackenzie Gore is the least deserving of the 3 right now just because, you know, fairly pedestrian otherwise. He's just striking a lot of guys out. He's been pretty good. But if he got on a heater in June or over the next month pitched to a, you know, 2.93 ERA, he could absolutely be in the conversation.
Absolutely.
For all-star game. I think Abrams, if he stays healthy and plays anything like he has to this point, would be a lock. He's arguably been the best shortstop in baseball. He's got an OPS near .950. And James Wood, with his power and just the promotability and the way that guy operates and his star power and what he could be long-term for baseball, I think it's a no-brainer to do whatever you can to involve him. And that's not even to speak to the fact that he's just earning it. He's out there 40 and 100. How many outfielders in the big leagues right now are on pace for that, and he's 22 years old? So if I had to guess, I'd say Abrams is the most likely guy as of this moment. We still got time. Wood right behind him, and then a gap, and then Gore. But even if it's just Abrams and James Wood, which right now seems likely.
Still pretty cool.
That's a pretty damn big accomplishment for the Washington Nationals this season if they can get those two guys
in. A 24-year-old and a 22-year-old that are your centerpieces. Yeah, but what better showcase than that, right? If Gore gets, as you said, on a little bit of a heater, let's say he turns in 3 excellent starts, a couple decent ones, you'll look up and you'll go, his ERA is probably right around, you know, 3-1, 3-2, leading the strikeouts. You could do a lot worse in terms of filling out your all-star staff. And then with pitching, you know how it goes. The timing of, did you throw 2 days before, a day, are you scheduled to start a day after, or whatever, when it comes to the all-star game. So all of a sudden you have to dig a little deeper to find your pitchers. Great candidate right there.
How about CJ would be a 2-time all-star as a 24-year-old in Atlanta back home? He's a Georgia kid.
Oh, yeah.
This would be his second straight all-star appearance before he's even 25 years old. He doesn't turn 25 till the end, you know, October, end of this baseball season. Very quietly becoming a star. And I had tabled this conversation at the end of last season when he got into some trouble off the field and the team basically booted him from the team in the final week. But that's way, way, way behind him now in the rearview mirror.
Seems to be, yeah.
He's playing at an exceptionally high level. It is time to start considering them extending him again. And it's going to be, you know, by the end of this season, if I'm not hearing more about it, it's going to be, you're going to be annoyed by me. I'm being a pain in the ass guy about it again. Because at some point, you got to pay one of these guys. Like, I'm doing what I can not to scream right now. But how many of these guys are going to come through here that you do not pay? And it's a very easy excuse. It's a great explanation, not even just an excuse, when it's a Scott Boras-advised player. I watched an interview he did recently about Juan Soto's contract that broke all the records and how he was advising him over the years. He mentioned, I never even heard about this, like a $100 million offer the Nats had made him very early on in his career, that he told him, don't even think about that. And then the $440 million offer, and he said, you're worth way more than that. Obviously, he ended up being right, and Soto just listened to him. He works for Soto, not vice versa. So if Juan Soto was hell-bent on signing any of those deals, he could have done it. But Boras is right there. You hire Boras to get every penny. Mm-hmm. You could hire a lot of agents if getting every penny wasn't the most important thing. You hire Boras because you want to get every penny. And it's not just about making money. It's about value and getting what you can and what you feel like you're worth, right? But that's how he thinks as an agent. That's how his players are going to operate. So Dylan Cruz is a Boras guy. He's very likely to go to the market. At a very, very high rate, Scott Boras guys are hitting free agency. That's how you get the most money.
Mm-hmm.
James Wood is a Boras guy. He's going to break records potentially, too. He's going to make all of the money. He looks like he's on that trajectory. It's going to be very, very hard to sign those guys. Now, I guess it's possible James Wood, who went to St. John's College High School in D.C. before he transferred and went to IMG Academy, who's from only Maryland. Maybe he just wants to be the first lifetime national since Ryan Zimmerman, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. And he tells Scott Boras, respectfully, sir, I'm going to sign this deal. That's possible. But again, I think if that's how you were operating, you probably wouldn't be represented by Scott Boras. So in my opinion, Wood, Cruz, those guys, you would look at the FanDuel odds, Danny. You tell me if you disagree. I think the betting odds are on them hitting the market eventually. It's just hard to sign those guys that Boras represents.
Yeah, James Wood would go to the market at probably around 28 years old, having put in a whole bunch of unbelievable deposits in the bank.
At this point, he might have 440 homer seasons or a 50 homer season. Who knows?
Yeah, we could be talking about some ungodly total AAV. So, you know, a guy that's got MVP potential, yeah, you might want to hit the open market.
But the guy who is not represented by Scott Boras, the guy that you might be able to get done, C.J. Abrams.
Let's buy out a couple ARB years, right? Give him a big raise in those so you get the cash in sooner, and then you save yourself money on that middle and the back end. Here we go. Come on. Let's do it.
I'm looking at my watch. Any time now, right about now, would be a good time to start thinking about it. I think Barry Sverluga wrote a piece about doing it a year ago in the middle of the season or maybe right after the All-Star game, something like that. And we brought it up on the show starting then a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Then after he got in a little trouble, we're like, all right, let's just table that.
Table a discussion.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
It's time to bring it back. Until you sign one of these guys, you can't do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you have proven incapable of this until you do it, and then we all back off a little bit. But you got to get one of these deals done. And wouldn't it be an amazing message for this ownership group to send? Hey.
That we are actually here. We're engaged. We're doing it.
Like, they wouldn't say that we're right. When I say this past offseason was proof that they're not engaged in wanting to spend any money, they might say, we just didn't think we were ready. We didn't want to block any of the kids. Like, they can philosophically make a case that it's not about not spending. Eventually, we'll spend. We just didn't think it was time. I don't agree with that. We could disagree. But that's what they could say. You know what they can't do is, if C.J. Abrams keeps getting closer and closer to free agency and not paying him, there's no good excuse there. So if you wanted to, you could pay C.J. Abrams and say, we told you. We're here. We're serious. We're open for business. And when it's time to spend, we'll spend. I would love for them to send that message. Now would be a really good time to start working on it.
Love to hear a little rumbling, wouldn't you? I just want my rumble. Whether you get it done or not, he might say no.
Rumble.
I just want my rumble. I want talks have begun, or an overture was released from the, whatever it is. But there, you never hear a rumor. Like the Trey Turner initial offer, 3 years later, he's like, yeah, they never got back to me. And I left.
Where did Jaden Daniels rank in the top 25 NFL players under 25 list that came out today? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.